We have, over the last couple of weeks, been talking about the importance of having a plan, of actually having a map of where you want to go if you want to actually arrive at that location. And what we've been talking about is that when it comes to driving or when it comes to going on a hike, we get it, right? If you want to get there, if you want to get to a certain location, you probably need to have a map. You probably need to pick the path that you're going to take. You need to get the directions so that you're going in the right direction so that you can get to the specific place that you want to arrive at. The problem is we don't make the connection, or there's a disconnect from driving or from going on a hike to the areas of our lives where that truly matters. Because we'll say stuff like, well, I want to be this kind of person, or I want to date that kind of person, or I want to marry this type of person, or have that kind of marriage, or have these kind of dollars, or have that kind of a degree. And so in our minds, we set a destination, we pick somewhere that we want to go, but then too often we pick a path or a direction that doesn't actually lead us to where we want to arrive, and we go in a direction that we weren't intending to, and all of a sudden we get somewhere that we didn't want to be, and we're like, uh-oh, what went wrong? How did that happen? And what happens is this principle of the path, that every single path has a destination. The direction that we choose is more important than the intentions that we have. The direction determines our destination, not the thing that we want, but the actual direction that we choose. And last week we talked about how that sometimes we are going down a certain path, and as we're traveling down that direction, we come across danger. Or there's something that we see as we head down that way of life, and all of a sudden we've got this danger that we have to deal with, and we saw that the prudent individual or the wise individual takes refuge or takes precaution so that they don't get destroyed by whatever that danger is. But then the simple-minded or the naive person would see the danger and just keep going right at it and potentially suffer the destruction of it. And so last week we talked about praying that God would give us the ability to see the danger, that he would give us the ability to not only have the ability to see it, but then we would have the courage and the wisdom to know what to do about it and then to actually respond. But the problem with this idea of the principle of the path is that we've all experienced it. We've all had these moments where we've made a decision and then later on we've suffered the ramifications of a bad decision or picking the wrong path. We've all made decisions that didn't end up where we hoped that they would end. And the difficulty is not just dealing with the danger, but the difficulty is trying to actually pick a path that gets us to where we want to go, actually selecting the right direction. Here's the good news. The reason that you didn't pick the wrong path isn't because you're dumb. See? Some people, you come to church and you get a little encouragement. You're not dumb. Because here's the truth. Knowledge isn't the guarantee of success. Having knowledge isn't the guarantee of success. Getting all the information won't secure you. For example, if I spend lots of time getting ready for a presentation, if I spent all last night getting ready for this morning, then this morning I would come and present and it would probably work out. Okay, so that's good. We got the knowledge and then it worked out. Or let's say this. You decide, I really don't want stinky armpits, right? I don't want my armpits to stink. So I'm going to put on some deodorant, and I'm going to spray some really good smelly stuff. You know, my wife bought it for me, so I'll spray that on, and now I don't stink. And we get that. That's simple, right? That's really easy stuff. I want to not stink, so I'm going to do something here so I don't get there, right? We get those, but those don't really mess up our life a whole lot. Well, if you don't get the armpit thing figured out, it will mess up your life. But, like, the path that we choose is so much more important than choosing deodorant, right? Like, because the path that you pick in your 20s impacts where you're at in your 30s. And the financial path that you plan early on in your marriage will impact the financial path or the financial end of your marriage later on. Or the angle or the perspective or the path that you choose and the way that you raise your kids when they're really young, you don't know until they become teenagers whether or not it worked. Right? And then it's like too late. What in the world have we done? Right? We don't know the outcome until it's way too late. And you can't go back. You don't get redos on picking that path, on picking that direction. So when it comes to choosing paths relationally or financially or who we're going to date or what kind of entertainment we're going to take part in, it's so critical that we make a decision up front that will lead us to where we want to go. But the problem is, we don't have all the information. we can't actually get all the information because none of us know the future. But direction determines our destination. So how do we know that we're on the right direction? How do we know that we've picked the right path? How do we have the knowledge to go where we need to go, but we can't actually have enough knowledge? Understand this. Think about this. Have you ever, or do you know of somebody that's really, 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 really smart, that's done something that's really, 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 really dumb? How many of you thought of a person? Right? Okay. How many of you actually know the person? How many of you actually are the person? Careful on this one. How many of you are sitting next to the person? Husbands, hands down. Husbands, keep your hands down. Learn from your mistakes. We will make stupid decisions not as a result of lack of information. I mean, there are times in your life where we'll choose a path and we'll get years down the road and we'll be like, man, I really wish somebody would have told me this or helped me with that or helped me understand. That'll happen. But there will be plenty of times in your life where you have and I have, we have all the information that we need. We have all the knowledge to make a good decision, but we don't. For some of us, we went to a financial planner and we sat down and we mapped it out. They give us a fancy little binder of how we could get all of our money worked out. And then we took the binder home and then we put it in the filing drawer and closed it. And we don't have any more money today than we did when we first started to plan. Or how about this? How many of you, when you're making reservations for a hotel or you're looking online, you're like, oh, we got to make sure they got a fitness center. We got to work out when we're on vacation. And then you check in and you go look at the fitness center. And that's the last time you see it, right? Because we know we're supposed to work out. Everyone in this room, we all know we're supposed to floss, right? It's critical to the health of our teeth. But if we were to pass around some dental floss right now, everybody gets their own, but if we passed out dental floss, according to my hygienist, we would have a lot of bloody gums in this room, right? Same thing, she says, with everybody that comes in. We all know what we're supposed to do, but knowledge isn't guaranteeing our success. There's this amazing story in the Bible of this young guy. He's like 17, 19, 20, somewhere right in there. And he becomes the king of Israel. His father, David, is the king. And David dies. And so his son, Solomon, becomes the king. And right away, Solomon has this huge task. His job is to build the temple. Now, for the Israelites, the temple, it's the center of who they are as a people. It's the most important structure of their culture. For them, the temple is the place where God resided. That's where, if people wanted to encounter God, they would go to the temple. And so this temple is a massive structure. It's got unbelievable detail. There's specific materials that have to be used. And so Solomon is this new king, this young king. He's got to run the nation. And he's got the responsibility to build the house of God. So before Solomon starts, this amazing thing happens where God comes to Solomon and says, hey, listen. Solomon, I really loved your dad. I really love you. I made some promises to your dad that I want to bring about. And so, Solomon, I will give you anything you want. Anything. And this young guy makes a brilliant decision. He says, you know what? I would like wisdom. I would like the ability to make decisions. I would like knowledge. And God is so honored by his request that we read in 1 Kings the way that God responds. The scripture's on the screen. It's in your message notes. But just about almost to the middle of your Bible, this is what God says in response to Solomon's request for wisdom. It says, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. I will do, did I read that right? Ministering justice. Okay. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. God says, I promise you, I will make you the wisest person that ever lives. Now, if you're not into church or you're not really into the Bible, you're like, oh, that's kind of silly. Really? God can make him the wisest ever? Listen, Solomon goes on to write some books. Write some things about life and about love and about money and about friendship. He came up with stuff thousands of years ago that he wrote down that is relevant to life today. The things that he wrote down, if you were to read them, if you were to read what Solomon wrote, he is so spot on. You would never have to listen to Oprah, Dr. Phil, or Dave Ramsey again. Like, you would be set. He gives us these solutions that apply to so many areas of life. And as we begin to read these, we begin to realize, man, he truly was the wisest guy that ever lived. He didn't have any books to read. He wasn't looking online for information. He literally came up with this stuff all on his own. Wisest person that ever lived. Now, if you're tracking with me this morning, you're thinking to yourself, wait. I thought we just said that knowledge isn't the guarantee of success. Solomon would agree. In fact, Solomon would never say it this way, but he would agree with this statement, that getting more smarter ain't the answer. Some of you are like, I can't even write that down. It's so horrible. If you just get more brain power, if you just gain more knowledge, it won't solve the problem of being able to make great decisions or selecting the right path. This guy Solomon, the wisest person to ever live, is so relevant to this discussion because if there was ever a person that could say, you know what, God? I got all the information I need. You know what, God? I got enough common sense. I got enough wisdom. God, you're free to go do whatever God does. I'm cool. I got it. I'm loaded up with wisdom. I asked for it. You gave it to me. I got so much knowledge and understanding. I got this. If there's anybody that could ever do that, anybody that's ever said, you know what, I got all the, I can make all the decisions. I got enough intuition. I got enough wisdom and discernment and judgment. Solomon was the guy. But Solomon begins to address this question of how do we actually choose the right path? How do we know up front which path to take and which direction to go so that later on we don't end up wrecking our lives? That we get to a place that we're proud of. How do we actually make decisions financially and relationally or whatever it is? How do we make those decisions? How do we choose those things that we take a path that gets us to a place that we want to be? That gets us to a place that God wants us to be? How do we make those decisions? And Solomon answers that question. And the answer that he gives us should be a surprise to us based on how incredibly smart and knowledgeable he was. Proverbs chapter 3, it's probably a verse that you may have heard before. If you've grown up in church, you probably memorized it. But don't forget, this is the smartest guy that's ever lived. And here's how he says we should make decisions. Proverbs 3, he writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust the Lord with all your heart. Solomon is essentially saying, in every single area of your life, every single path, every single category, lean hard into God. Like, you're going to have to, you know, what are you going to lean on and trust in? The Hebrew phrase literally means to prop up something with something else. And Solomon is saying, don't prop yourself up with your own information and your own insight and your own wisdom. Don't let your facts that you know be the thing you lean on for decisions. Lean on God himself. And our tendency is we struggle because we want to make decisions based on the way we see the world and the way we have experienced the world. But Solomon says, listen, no. Listen, as the guy that's the smartest who could have done that, he's like, don't lean hard into your own knowledge. Lean hard. Prop yourself up against God. He could have said, I got all the information. But he says, I'm telling you, if you want to pick the right path, trust God. Lean on God. Prop yourself up on the person and character of God. Because the answer is not having more information or having more insight. The answer is the person and character of God, who invites us to lean hard and prop ourselves up on him. Which brings us to the principle. We're looking at different principles each week for how we make better decisions. If you want to be able to map it out or make a better decision, what you have to understand is this. It's the principle of support, which means we have to choose to lean on what won't fail you. Now, don't confuse what Solomon is saying. Don't think God is encouraging us to stop gaining knowledge. If you're a student, you're like in the last 2 weeks of school. This is not the, well, I don't have to do my homework anymore, right? If, you know, if you're going to work or you're a parent, like, this isn't a call to just be dumb. Like, God ultimately commends and rewards Solomon for choosing wisdom. He gives him money and power and he gives him all that stuff. But what's being said here is, listen, your wisdom, my wisdom, just being smart, it isn't enough. Don't lean on it. Because we will make decisions supported on something. We'll lean on something. We'll be propped up by something. We'll depend on something. And knowledge and smarts will fail you. In the last 12 months, have any of you driven to a place that you've been before where you knew how to get there and you got lost? Right? You're not. How many of you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? More than once. Right? You stub your toe on the same table or the same nightstand. More than once. Right? Like, guys, I've been telling you for a while, since the beginning of this. Many of you ignored me. Skinny jeans. Not good. Don't do it. Right? Like, we should know better. We're smarter than skinny jeans. But we did it, right? We still went there. Ladies, some of you just... No, I'm not even going there. See? Some of you are like, oh, he's going to get himself in trouble. I've learned a little bit. Sometimes knowledge works. Those are easy, right? Getting somewhere. Picking fashion, right? Like, those are easy and we still mess up when we depend on our own knowledge. But think about the things that are so essential, the things that are truly important in life. Don't choose to lean on you and your own knowledge because it'll fail you. But every day we're tempted to trust on our own understanding. And the wisest man that ever lived said, listen, just trust in God, not in your own understanding. But because he knew we would think we're really smart, he repeats himself. He says this, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. In all of your ways, in your marriage ways, in your entertainment ways, in your dating ways, in your morality ways, in your education ways, in your professional ways, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In all of your ways, not just your Sunday ways, not just in your religious ways. Not just in, you know, I need to get some good luck from God, so I went to church and I threw some bucks in the offering and I prayed before I make a big decision ways. In all your ways. In all your ways, invite God, acknowledge God and say, God, you're going to be Lord over my money and you're going to be Lord over my marriage and you're going to be the Lord over my friendships. God, I'm going to acknowledge your ways in my entertainment. I'm going to acknowledge your ways in my weekends. God, I'm going to acknowledge you in every aspect, in all ways. I'm going to acknowledge you first. And then there's this amazing promise that our paths will be straight. What we have to understand is that there should be the word then included there. In the original, the word then would, goes in here, where it basically says this, acknowledge God in all your ways, and then he will make your path straight. As a result of trusting in God, as a result of acknowledging God in all of your ways, now he'll make your path straight. So the reality is this, the clear path is just a decision away. So if you want direction from God, it doesn't begin by searching for direction. If you desire a clear path, it doesn't begin by looking for a clear path. A clear path is just the decision away from deciding to acknowledge God in all your ways. You begin by trusting God with your heart, essentially saying, in all of your ways, God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm going to trust you with my finances, even if I don't know what that means yet. God, I'm going to trust you with my relationships, even if I don't understand everything about it and what you say about relationships. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to acknowledge you, and when I find out how I should respond, I'll do it that way. God, I'm going to acknowledge you even before I make all the wrong decisions and all that I have left are tough decisions. God, I'm going to let you know up front, I'm trusting you with all of my heart. I'm not going to lean on my understanding, even before I get to the point where there's just difficult forks in the road. God, I'm trusting you. I'm acknowledging you in all my ways before you give me a clear path, which means submission precedes direction. At the end of submission is where we get direction. It's the end of the process where he makes the path straight. He makes our path straight, which literally means this. He will make the way clear. He will make the way plain. In our terminology, what we're talking about this morning, you will know the path to take. You can't miss it. But submission precedes direction. And our tendency is we'll make a big mess of everything. We'll mess up our job and our education and our relationships and our money. And we'll just mess it all up. And then we turn to God and say, like, I trust you. And I acknowledge you to show me how to get my messed up butt out of this place. God, I want you to swoop in and make it all better. God, would you lead me out of here right now? Because I have made a wreck of this. God, I'm willing for you to show me how to fix this. And God is willing to meet us there. And he will walk us through that, and he will help us get back on track. But it will probably be painful. It will probably be slow. It will probably not be fun. But the promise that we're reading this morning is him coming to us and saying, listen, if you'll acknowledge me ahead of time, don't be clever on your own. Don't be wise on your own. Don't lean on your own smarty pants. God is saying, start by acknowledging me, submission in all of your ways. Trust me that I know better. And then he says, I'll make the path so stinking clear you can't miss it. But it doesn't begin by asking God for direction. It doesn't begin by saying, God, more information. It begins with total submission to acknowledge God in all your ways. And when we acknowledge God in all of our ways, he can't wait to make the path clear. And then Solomon understands after he makes those two statements that we're really stubborn. So he repeats himself one more time. He says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. He's like, listen, I've just told you how to make the path wide open and clear. Don't do it on your own. I know you've been doing this for 20 years. I know you're a professional at this. I know you got 3 kids already. I know you've got knowledge. I know you have information. I know you've got insight and experience. I know you read the book. I know you went to the seminar. Solomon is saying, listen, don't do it. Don't rely on your own wisdom in your own eyes because it's not enough. And we're really good and we're really fine at handing God control of all of the things we can't control. Right? Like when we die, we don't want to go to hell. So we're like, God, I can't do a whole lot about that. So God, I trust you with that one. God, when my kids aren't with me, I can't protect them. So God, you take care of my kids when I'm not around. I can't control terrorists. I don't have power over foreign leaders. I have no power to get the Sonics back. So God, those are all yours. I trust you with those. I acknowledge your ways. So I can't control it anyway. So I trust you, and I acknowledge your ways and the things that I can't control. But the trouble, and what we have to avoid, is the, oh yeah, I got this, ways. Right? The areas that we control, where we feel like we have enough knowledge, but we still pick the wrong path, and we still pick the wrong direction, and we still get ourselves in trouble with our dollars and our careers and our marriages and our kids' behavior and our homes and our church and our friends and our hobbies and our entertainment. We control those. And so we're like, oh yeah, God, I got this. God, I'm leaning on me for this one. God, I'm acknowledging my way. I'm trusting me. Oh yeah, I got this. Sad, yet interesting thing is that when we read the rest of Solomon's story, he didn't follow his own advice. He had all of this wisdom and all of this knowledge and all of this experience, and he decided to trust his own wisdom. He decided, you know what, I know how to deal with other nations. And so he decided to trust on his own intuition and his own knowledge and his own experience. And he quit trusting God and God's ways. And he decided, you know what? I know how to deal with this. I know how to defend our nation. I know how to make, you know, public or foreign affairs work out. I know how to make this work. I got it. So what Solomon started to do is he started to marry the daughters of all of these other kings and all of these other emperors, all in an attempt to make an alliance with them. That's what people did back then. He's like, I see how this will work. This will be the best way. I know how to protect us. I don't need your help on this one, God. I got this. He didn't lack wisdom. He didn't lack knowledge. He didn't lack information. But for some reason, in this one area, he decided to trust in his own knowledge. And as a result, the kingdom was a wreck. And his legacy was destroyed. And it divided his family and it divided his kingdom. Because he didn't acknowledge God in all of his ways. He's just like, I got this. Three quick thoughts and warnings to consider. We need to understand this, is that pride eventually overrides wisdom. I don't need help. I'm not going to submit to God's plan. Wisdom, out the window. Or arrogance eventually overrides common sense. Oh, you know what? My way might not seem like the best option, but it's my way. I got it. Oh, I'm not going to take my way because it's the right way or the smart way or the best way. It's just my way. Or lastly, self-importance overrides discernment. You know, I deserve this. I don't care what it leads to. You know, I have it coming. People have hurt me. I've been damaged. People have offended me. I get to make this about me. And we act with pride and arrogance or self-importance in the areas that we control. And then we find ourselves making horrible decisions. And this morning, it's not about the areas that we don't control. This is about the areas that we do control. The paths that we choose. The direction that we set. What we have to begin to do is think, you know what, God? I think I'm pretty smart in this area. But I realize it's not enough. God, I've been doing this for 20 years. I got all kinds of experience. But God, I need you as if I've got no experience. God, I'm a professional at this. People actually come to me for advice in this area. But I'm as dependent on you as if I knew nothing. God, I'm acknowledging you in the areas that I think I control. Because when I start to do it, I start to trust in my own judgment and my own pride and my own arrogance and my own self-centeredness starts to rise to the top, and eventually it overrides and trumps wisdom and the experience that you've given me, and I mess it all up. We have the potential to make some really stupid decisions because we think we know better and we depend on ourselves. So this week, the next steps in here, I think, will really allow you and I to make some movement forward in learning how to trust in God. And every week we put these in your Connect card and challenge you to think through, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? What's your next step going to be? And as we consider this idea of trusting in God and acknowledging Him in all of our ways rather than our own, what's your next step? Maybe for you this next week, you just need to find some time, either today or this week, and wrestle with this question. Why am I so afraid to acknowledge God in the areas that I think I have control? Maybe your next step is to allow yourself to embrace the fact that knowledge and insight aren't enough. You need God. Maybe your next step is to choose an area that you control, and this week work to lean not on your own understanding, but trust God to make the path clear. This morning, we're going to take communion, receive communion, and this is an opportunity for us to celebrate what Christ has done for us. But in this process, one of the things that we're doing is we're acknowledging that Christ took control and handled something that we can't control, and the fact that He died for our sins, and the fact that He gives us life. And in that process, it's our opportunity to say, you know what, if you can handle that, I'll let you handle the things that I think I can control, because that is so big. And so this morning, as we receive communion, let it be an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm going to start to trust you in all of my ways. I'm going to acknowledge you above my own wisdom. So when we receive communion, Jesus took some bread and He said, listen, this represents my body, which is broken for you so that you can have life. And he took some drink and he said, listen, drink this and remember that my blood was shed so that you could have forgiveness of sin. And so when we take communion at Silver Creek, it is open to anybody. If you're here this morning, we simply would say, do you believe that Jesus did that for you? And if you believe he did, then we would invite you to come and receive communion. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to sign anything. Just celebrate what Jesus has done for you. And maybe this morning it can begin the process of you saying, God, I'm going to acknowledge you in all of my ways. I've got three stations.